Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to an LA Tim Kawakami Road edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast, we'll call it. Feels playoffy. You know, you're on the road. Environment's good. ABC, two riding, big brand franchises.
I'm riding on the road game, asking questions, talking to everybody. Yeah,
I felt it. I'm going to write about this, too, in a little bit. But I think Kerr circled this. And Draymond said it. He called it a playoff game. And it would be disappointing if they talked about this being like a playoff game and then laid an egg. And they did not lay an egg. They played hard. They played hard throughout from the get. They got some nice jolts of energy from Kuminga, from Clay, from whoever. And also from Anthony Davis getting hurt for the whole second half. But they played hard. They played tough. I thought it was something that, you know, something they could really build on.
Yeah, stakes-wise, this doesn't make it a ton more likely.
Well, they win, by the way. They beat the Lakers.
Yes, they beat the Lakers. They were final. You got the box score in front of you. 128-121 was the final. You know, it was a high-scoring game, obviously, right by that score. But stakes-wise, to me, this, you know, if you still have a chance to get out of the 9-10 and into the 7-8, which is at this point where I think their target is, you needed it. But this didn't make that altogether way more likely. But what it did make much more likely is them potentially getting the 9. And if they do this 9-10 play-in, which is the most likely scenario against the Lakers, having that at Chase Center, they have another game here in L.A. that, you know, it's going to be for the tiebreaker also in early April. So it'll be just as big, maybe even, you know, bigger than tonight. But how important do you feel like getting home court in the play-in is, because that might have been decided tonight?
Yeah, although, you know, the Warriors have been better on the road than at home, so you have to put that out there. But I just think the travel is a big part of it. As we know, they're an older team. I think just the hecticness of it, like, say you win, if you are the road team and you win the 9-10 game, you go back right on the road to play the loser of 7-8. And then if you win that one, you start on the road against the number one seed.
Yeah, so you're like, yeah, like 36
you're
like, hours.
Boom, boom, yeah, you're boom, boom, boom. If you, any chance you get to cut that down, and the only chance you can as a 9-10 team is game is to be the 9. So I think that's big. I think they should be play better at home. I think you want the older Lakers to have to travel. So yeah, I think the Dallas game was huge until Steph and Draymond missed it, and that made this game huge. Winning this game makes the next Laker game, the final regular season game, huge to try to win the season series. Get that, you know, so now even if you tie, you win, you're the home team for 9-10, and it gives you a better shot to get to 8, you know, which I think is the highest about they can get. If they can get to 8, they get two shots at it. If you're 9-10, you only get one shot at it. If you lose, you're out. I just think they have to feel good that they had to play. They told themselves they had to win this game, and they won the game. That felt a little bit of old school Warriors in a very non old school Warriors kind of season.
I think I might go old school five observations tonight. And one of the things that struck me was their rotation. You could tell early on, right away. He had a 9-man rotation. He wiped Moody away. There was no Looney, no Sarge. Those two are on the fringe of it. And really, it was almost 8 because Gary Payton plays 6 minutes, 2 in the first half. I guess he screwed up a couple defensive coverages. That's why he was pulled quick. But a lot of Trayce Jackson-Davis, a lot of Chris Paul, a lot of Klay Thompson off the bench. Those are almost their like only 3 bench players, plus a sprinkle of Gary Payton with the starters. And while Kerr acknowledged postgame that the largeness of the game and the matchup dictated that he went 8, but also, especially chatting with some other people, it seems like they're leaning this way, that it's time to slice this down. And you know, again, that means Moses Moody's kind of nudged to the fringe. He gets a DMP tonight. But that just... it is what it is, and I do generally agree with the idea that it's kind of getting to playoff E overall for the Warriors, so it's kind of time to start doing your rotation like it's playoff E, and that means you know, nine max, really.
Especially if Clay's going to play like this.
Yeah.
Because that's where the minutes could come from. But Clay played great tonight. Played 31 minutes. You wouldn't have wanted him out there for anything less. CP's going to, what if CP played? He only played 17 minutes. So you're not going to cut that down. You know, like, if those two guys are playing really well and are healthy, I see this. Poor Moses Moody. I mean, he certainly hasn't been playing poorly. How many times have we said he's earning minutes? He should be in the rotation. We kept saying it. But
Kerr said it. Remember, because Wiggins leaves for that whole road trip. Moody starts four games, plays well, and then says he's got to get him in, and he does. But you know what hurt Moody lately? He missed 14 straight threes over a stretch of about five games. And, like, he just – like, he's out there partially to be a floor spacer, and he hadn't been spacing the floor.
You can go – say Wiggins, go guard D'Angelo Russell. Wiggins, you got to take your turn on LeBron. And you can't really say that for Moody. And it's not like Wiggins was out there dominating these guys defensively. He's not there this season like he was 2 years ago. But you can say it. You can have him go out there and battle. And I thought he played hard tonight. You know, I don't think he shot great, but 7-17. But he took 17 shots. What, for Andrew Wiggins, that's a lot of shots this season. That's important. You know, the aggressiveness, the athleticism, and that's why Moody's not playing. Again, I think you probably can get some minutes for him. I don't know, Pajemski minutes, whatever. But Kerr's going to play Pajemski. And guess what? Pajemski was game best plus 13. Like, that's why he's playing. He just fits in the slots that they need, especially when other guys are shooting it well, because, you know, he's not going to put up that many shots. Poor Moses Moody. Moody and Looney, the two nicest guys on the team, the two guys that always roll with it, are the guys that Kerr always goes to when he has to shorten the rotation. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Probably going to stay that way for a while, too.
So Steph Curry ends up missing three games because of the ankle injury. And, like, honestly, it might have changed the result of four different games, because the Chicago game, he twists his ankle, misses the final 3 minutes, and they lose. You know, they give away the lead late.
They did win one of those games, though. They beat San Antonio.
They did. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, that four-game stretch, that 1-3 little pocket might end up killing their season. Because it might end up, you know, keeping them in the 9-10, where otherwise they might have got to the 7-8. But again, those are longer-term, bigger-picture things.
Other games killed them too, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, like, we could name about 10.
Yeah, that was always what I was saying, was like, even if you go, okay, they made it this point, this is now they can make the run, you never know when you're going to get your next injury. And then they got one, and they just happened at a really inopportune time against some games that they really could have won. So this is what happens, you know. Guys are going to get hurt. They might get hurt. They might have another injury again. Two more injuries. Other teams are going to have injuries.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Anthony Davis, by the way, we should mention, was injured tonight. He got poked in the eye and played the first quarter. Was good. What were his 12-minute stats? He played the entire for 11:57, I should say. He had 8 points, four rebounds, and a block. Plus six, as you mentioned.
It changes. It changes what the Warriors do. Yeah. Like, they just don't go inside when AD's there. And I think this is true. I think they made one jump shot in the fourth quarter. Everything else was inside, or free throws or whatever, because the inside was open. You know, it's Rio Hachimura.
Jackson Hayes wasn't striking.
He was off balance. They were getting to him. And Ryu Hachimura isn't going to be the guy who's going to block any shots. So, or they draw and they draw Hayes out and they throw the lob over the top. They threw a ton of those, and you know, Kuminga was just ferocious finishing. So that was a big deal. But you know what? Injuries happen. They suffered their own injury with Steph recently. AD going out. I guess Trace raked him or something. I think they were saying.
Yeah, he got like poked in the eye.
Okay. It's the way it goes. And they took advantage of it. It would have been really bad to lose this one when that happened. It would have been bad to lose this one, even if they played well. They did play well. It would have been really bad to lose it with AD not playing the last three quarters of the game. I was wondering, I saw Jackson Hayes, like, what is Jackson Hayes ever going to come out? I'm like, what's going on here? Then I realized, oh, okay, AD must be hurt.
No Davis, no Vanderbilt.
I couldn't see the Laker bench, so yeah. I wouldn't know what was going on.
No Cam Reddish. Yeah, I mean, they're thin. So, mentioning Steph, though, he does come back. What? How many minutes did he end up playing? A lot. 33, 34, almost 33, 52. And he was scoreless in the first quarter. And you kind of wondered, you know, in this building, off an ankle injury, was it just going to kind of be a quiet night? He ends up finishing with 31 points, 12 of 24 shooting. Only 3 of 10 for 3, but he had the end. 1-3, he had big moments, big stretches.
The four-point play.
Yeah, the four-point play for sure. He was good, but honestly, I thought the stretch of the game was Klay Thompson. His first 8 minutes, he scores 18 points. They're down. I mean, remember that first quarter? Davis was playing, as we mentioned. They're down.
Down 11, I think, at one point.
Yeah. And I just, like, Klay shot him back into the game. And, you know, Klay only finishes with 26 points.
Okay, biggest likely was seven. So there was seven at one point.
Yeah. It felt like it was getting wobbly for a second. And every time it was early, Klay hit a three. Klay would hit a three. Finishes with 26 points off the bench. You mentioned the minute total earlier. I don't know that he loves it, but he's embracing the bench role and this, like, kind of microwave scoring ability, which is typical of your six men, which is, like, come in and if you're hot on this particular night, you can change a game. If you're not, you don't have to play 31 minutes. Your minutes can get throttled back to 21. But
what do you see who was guarding, by the way, when he came in? LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's their other guy to guard LeBron. Draymond certainly can do it.
Kuminga.
Especially when AD's out. But it was Kuminga to start, and then it was LeBron. I mean, then it was Klay on LeBron. I think he kind of likes those. Again, what we said, he likes the bigger guys. It's just he can tussle with the bigger guys. And I'll go, another thing I'm going to write about tonight is, again, it's a high-scoring game, so it's not true to the trends that everyone's talking about of lower-scoring game, the NBA, you know, kind of underlining that you maybe don't call as many of these ticky-tack defensive fouls. That sort of plays to the Warriors, though, because I was underneath the basket in a good seat this time, which I'm not normally given during the playoffs on the road. But, man, there was pulling and pushing and shoving, and I like that kind of play. Draymond was doing it, but Torian Prince was just yakking people. It was a lot of shove. Austin Reeves was pushing people, but it's just hard basketball. And I think the Warriors, even back to their Iguodala days, like, they kind of like that. And as they meant, a couple of them mentioned tonight after the game, then if the other team's crying about it, you're running down the other way, and it's 5-on-4. And they love that. And again, that was the death lineup, right? It was Andre with a strip, ball comes out, James Harden's throwing his arms up in the air, and the Warriors are coming right back down, open three. And I think this does suit them. You know, suits Draymond.
They're a high foul team.
They're a high foul team. So they give up a lot of free throws. So if you reduce that, they play their own way. They don't get fouls. So they don't play that way.
But I love that all this conversation is going on. And it's like, is anyone going to acknowledge that Chris Paul is on this team anyway? No?
They will never sell calls. Sell calls. But it's Steph and it's Klay, and they're jump shooters. Or when Steph gets in there, he tends not to sell calls.
Yeah, they're a little free throw team.
And it doesn't hurt. You know, they shot more free throws than the Lakers tonight, 18-16. And I think it does help them.
Honestly,
I think it does help them.
Yes, I think grand scheme, it definitely does. I do think Kuminga, it could be tough at times if, like, he's not getting fouled.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lakers shot 18, Warriors shot 15.
By the way, that is, like, they will take that.
That was Steph. 18 free, only 18 free throws, yes. So that they will win a lot more games when the opponent shoots under 20 free throws than they will lose. That's just that's the way they play. So this, I think, is helping them. I think this tilt away from the ticky-tack that Kerr has been complaining about, that many in the league have been noticing. This helps the Warriors, especially when Draymond's got his lit, you know, got his energy going, because he's going to be swiping, he's going to be pushing, he's going to be. He stole that one right away from Hachimura. I think it was just like went right in. Shoop! It's because when Steph missed the, I think Steph missed the layup, and then Draymond comes right in there. Shoom! Bam! It's mine now. Like maybe a little bit of arm on the swipe. Doesn't matter. Gets a ball, digs it back out. Warriors get another possession. That was really important.
We've probably gone too far without mentioning the electric finish to this game, which I believe it was clocked in at like 24 minutes to play the last 2 minutes. It had two reviews for out of bounds.
Long reviews.
Two extremely long reviews for out of bounds calls that both were successful challenges by the Lakers. One created a jump ball. The other was out of bounds going to the Lakers. But within these two extraordinarily long reviews, suddenly the refs just out of nowhere go, oh yeah, you know that monster LeBron 3 in the corner over there? Doesn't count. Which nobody, like the Warriors weren't complaining about it. Nobody was. It was just like, whoa, okay, the Lakers don't have 3 points. Curry even said postgame, man, Steph kind of backed it up that they don't like that call. They didn't like, I mean, I'm sure they liked that LeBron got it.
Happen, yeah, but yeah. Their 4 point lead was 7 all of a sudden with like not much time left. But yeah, it's the flow of the game. Like it does. Like maybe things would have been a little different if that wasn't on the board. The Lakers play a little more desperately. Yeah. Whatever. It is unfortunate that happened.
Steph alluded to it, but a few weeks ago in Memphis, they were coming out of a timeout, and the refs go, "Hey, you know, there was a three, a minute and a half earlier that you no longer have, Steph." And I remember, you know, Memphis, we sit courtside. They were like, "What's going on, huh?" So I don't know. That was weird. But that's not even to then mention, after all these reviews, after taking the three away, the shot clock just stopped working, but to a point that they couldn't figure it out, yet they kept believing they did figure it out. So they kept trying to restart the game, and the shot clock would go, and it would be 2 seconds, a whistle, and LeBron would throw the ball up in the air. And then, so that ended up being another, I don't know, 12
By the way, the shot
minutes.
Clock didn't work earlier in the game on the Warriors' possession,
yeah.
And they never blew the whistle, so they got like 28 seconds to score. And the Lakers' sidelines going crazy. Dinwiddie's throwing his arms up on the court. What the hell's going on? It was an embarrassment for the Laker scoring situation. It was terrible.
Yeah, it got to the point that the final, whatever it was, 148, the PA announcer had to announce the shot clock to the players, which was odd. And I was just, I think in some ways, the arena was fortunate that there wasn't any more drama or it got closer or overtime and there would have been 5 minutes of this, because it was weird when it was happening, right? When he was 10, 15. Five, four.
The great Lawrence Tanner, right? The legendary Lawrence Tanner.
He probably could do it about as good as anybody, but it was still weird.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I mean, again, it did not change the game.
By the way, though, I was kind of laughing with a few words. And laughed, like, every time they started and restopped, the Lakers lost another 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And they're trailing, and they're losing it off the shot clock. Because, like, they get two, like, they're not doing a play, and they're, like, just dribbling it, and that's another 2 seconds less they have. Another 2 seconds less. That's, like, three times. They lose 6-7 seconds. That could have been valuable. It was weird that it worked against the home team, but maybe it should have when it's the home team's clock, that operation that isn't working.
Shoddy arena. But let me not say,
the shot clock was working just as well as their soda machine was in the media center. I'll put it that way.
Let me not talk too loud because there's arena workers everywhere, but, you know. The other amusing part of that, all the stoppages, was As it went deeper and deeper, and there'd been like no action in like 16 minutes, basically, you were reminded, you know, the age of most of the more important players in this game, where LeBron's doing like calisthenics and like leg warm ups, Draymond and Steph are running sprints, Clay was doing all of his like the, you know, jazzercise stuff, and you're just like, you know, man, these guys, you could just, it was a reminder of like, oh, like what the body does at the end of like a hard workout, and you're like, man, you know, these guys needing to get loose. I don't know, that part was the music.
I don't think Kuminga was doing too many stretching or anything like that.
One of the other things I'm going to write about, so Draymond misses the Dallas game with lower back soreness. Draymond then reveals on his podcast that it's been bothering him for a couple of weeks. And, you know, that had been known because they'd been putting him on the injury report with, you know, probable this game, that game. He detailed it some post game, you know, the way it's been bothering him, the fact that he didn't want to sit the Dallas game, but he felt because he did, he got kind of back to he got ahead of it. And often, you know, he's the scarier thing for the Warriors is what happened to him a couple years ago with the back and how that snowballed and
leg,
he ended, yeah, the leg, the nerve, he ends up missing a couple months. But to say all that, like, this is at a time and entering a stretch run where he's going to have to play at times big minutes. What did he finish with tonight? 34, which is huge for him lately.
Yep.
And was needed and needed to play energized. But also he's playing center. Like, he's the starting center. He's almost exclusively playing center. So that's something to monitor, number one. And number two side of that is, like, Trayce Jackson-Davis is being promoted into this backup center role. They're tightening the rotation, but they're not tightening Trace's minutes. You know, 21 tonight, he seems pretty much set. I mean, we'll see. Stuff always changes. But I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is now the backup center for this team for, like, the next several seasons.
It might be a starting center. I mean, obviously, the Draymond thing. The Curves playing them together for the start to second, start to fourth of that second unit. We'll see. I don't love that. You know, the spacing isn't great, but it's a hard, it's a defensive-minded, let Chris Paul go find stuff. And you notice a lot of times it's Chris Paul just dribbling around and shooting. But that's kind of what they want. That's kind of what they need. You know, it's that changeup is what they talked about at the end of last season. They did not have against the Lakers in this series. And I'll just, just to throw it out, like, I was just musing on Elon Musk's site. Can you imagine if they had Kuminga playing like this in that series? And Chris Paul in that series, they probably, and I don't think Kuminga would have been like this a year. Let's say that. Like, you can be mad at Kerr for not playing him, and I think we all think that he could have found minutes for him. Didn't play him. If he was ready, we don't know. If he was playing like this in this series, they probably would have won the series.
Clay in that too. Remember Clay? Clay went like 3 of 18 in Game 6, whereas tonight he finishes 9 of 15.
Yeah,
that changes.
But that's the same player. I'm just like, they didn't even play Kuminga and Chris Paul just to go get find some buckets. You know that Lonnie Walker got for the Lakers right in Game 5, whatever game it was. Like they needed something like that. Those kinds of plays were huge for the Lakers. Chris Paul can get him for the Warriors right now.
It's also what Jordan Poole did two playoffs ago and did not do last playoffs.
I don't think he did it very much in the playoffs last season. But and Kuminga is just an elevating player. He's just a guy that changes the dynamic every time he's out there, and he's doing it. I know we didn't have a good game last game, but just that pure athleticism, just to keep. And Kerr, interesting, it was a little throwback to last year when I asked him about Kuminga. He said, yeah, he's just learning the value of running all the time. Remember, that's what Kerr said last year. Like, he's got to stay in the lineup, he's just got to run. He's got to run, like, and certainly implies that he doesn't run all the time. And that's what he said after tonight's game, which I don't seem to recall Kuminga not running previously or actually running more this game, but that's what Kerr credited to. I think it's just more, you know, play at speed, don't stop and hesitate, and he was at speed for sure in this game.
I remember it was a game in Chicago, and it was the whole Sean Marion thing, like, play like Sean Marion. Anything else before I get us out of here?
They're dimming the lights here. I guess they're getting ready for a Kings game or something because they're pulling the floor up, so let's get out of their way, Slater. Big game, they move into ninth place, percentage points. And at the very least, they should try to hold on that.
You know
nine.
What's equally as large? This homestand coming up, where they're 17-17 at Chase Center this year, where they've really screwed their season up, is in that building. And it is Knicks on Monday, and then Grizzlies Pacers. That's all. You don't have to say it's got to be 3-0, but you know that
we all can see it being 1-2 too, right? I mean, it's theoretically
1-2 is the disaster.
Yeah, is there back to back in there?
No.
Okay. 1-2 would be 2-1 is the least they should go, and 3-0 should be very possible. But something tells me they're not going 3-0.
The Knicks are the type of team that can come
back and just get hot shooting the ball. I don't know. It's just something tells me they're not going 3-0.
All right, we will talk to you at some point during that homestand.